T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, let's get to this. What's the keyword to cash?
Record or record, however you want to say it. R-E-C-O-R-D, record. Text it into 72881 for your chance to win $1,000.
There's some restaurant in Maine. this is the point of the Twitter poll real fast,
yeah. And then we'll get to the story.
We're asking you, what's the best style of French fry? Is it straight cut, crinkle cut, waffle fry, or steak? We'll get to what's missing coming up in a moment. Why did we have this?
Yes.
Story out of Fox News. A restaurant in Maine has responded to the harsh backlash they say they've received from customers after changing the shape of their French fries from crinkle cut to straight cut.
Bali's famous Frank's in Waterville is getting a lot of angry feedback, including, like I said, physical threats, just because they recently changed their French fries from crinkle cut to straight cut. The owners of Bali say most customers have been supportive in the change, but some have yelled at them in the store, threatened to fight them, and shouted inappropriate things in a public restaurant.
Over the change of French fries?
They say the change in the fry cut was due to the cost of the blades needed to make a crinkle cut, which I didn't realize was a problem. Co-owner Jim Parsons told the Bangor Daily News, the blades are extremely expensive. We spent about $2,000 last year on the blades. When you look at the profit margin on French fries and you take $2,000 out of that, it really hurts. They say they are small-time business owners who give back small portions of the proceeds to various community organizations, and it is ridiculous how heated people are getting over this issue and want to remind people it's just French fries.
Right. It's just potatoes cut in a different shape.
And yet I'm not entirely surprised given the debate that I have seen online and in response to the Twitter poll.
So when I first read this story, I was like, okay, these people are just like overreacting. I mean, they're getting food crazy. But now that I've seen our poll, I'm with them. I don't mind getting physically harmed with Mike right now for putting steak fries on the pole, and not curly fries.
If you read the article, and it's on our Facebook page, in the middle of the article, Fox News has a poll question on Twitter. All right, on Twitter, just like we have a poll question on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
So I just took their, I just literally stole their question, fully admitting.
So your defense is that I didn't think about the thing that I put on social media to vote on. I just stole it from somebody else.
I actually just thought to myself, Fox News is always so fair and balanced and accurate. The president tells me so.
So Travis and I had the exact same reaction, which was, now generally I support you in the there are only four options thing. I just think that steak fries being there is pretty useless, and curly fries should be there instead.
The poll question is, what's your favorite French style of French fry? Straight cut, crinkle cut, waffle, or steak fries? I had no idea that the omission of curly fries and the addition of steak fries was going to make so many people so mad.
And it's, Travis and I didn't talk about this beforehand, but you commented on the story on the air, not knowing how I felt about the curly fry thing, and you said the exact same thing I did.
Just so mad that I kind of want to riot right now.
What? Over the lack of curly fries on this poll?
So foodrepublic.com did a list of the styles of French fries ranked.
Okay? Oh, okay. All right. For the record, what would you vote of our poll, or you can say curly? Is that your favorite fry, regular curly fries?
I mean, I'll stick to the rules and vote in the poll, because I have to stick by the rules. I'll say waffle fries.
Waffle fries. Yeah. Travis?
If I'm just going off the poll, probably the crinkle cut.
Crinkle cut fries. All right. Okay. Right now, man, this poll, we got a ton of votes. It's a split, 30-30. 30% for straight cut, boring, and crinkle cut. Waffle fries at 25%, which is what I voted for. That's the correct answer. And steak fries getting 15%.
And I think straight cut is a lot better than shoestring.
I agree.
Put shoestring in the same category straight cut.
They're cut straight. The same shape.
But the shoestring being skinny is just, why are you even making a fry?
Yeah, that's almost like there used to be shoestring potatoes that were potato chips, kind of. Like they came in a bag like potato chips. That's what I think of when I think of shoestring potatoes. that they're very, very skinny. They're like shoestrings. Very, very skinny and very, very little. They're not good for dipping. Because you have to gather 10 of them together as one and then dip.
I blame Fox News.
So
I blame Fox News.
Blame lack of independent.
I blame Fox News. Well, most of Fox News has a lack of independent thought.
Oh, here we
go. Go ahead.
Okay, so here's what Food Republic says. And they ranked 18 of them on here.
18 different. Yes. I don't know if I could name 18 styles of French fries.
So they include They include a couple things on here I would include.
Tater tots are not French fries.
They're not, but they come in at number 3. So number 1 is, in fact, waffle fries.
See, that's the right answer, you weird people.
Number 2 is something called Belgian fries. Irregularly sliced, double fried potatoes served in a cone with mayonnaise and other condiments. They look good.
You lost me at mayonnaise.
Well, they don't have to include mayonnaise. Belgian. It's a European thing.
Gross.
That's big. Mayonnaise is big.
Stupid Europeans.
Number 3 is tater tots.
Not a French fry.
Number 4 is standard cut.
Boring, but okay, I get it.
Number 5 is garlic fries, which I'm a big fan of. Garlic and chopped parsley. Yeah.
I think every time I have garlic fries, I feel like I want more of the garlic. Like there's just not enough of this. So if you're going to do go garlic on me.
Number 6 is the beloved but omitted curly fries.
Sixth, Travis.
But,
sixth.
Notice I have not mentioned steak fries yet.
Well.
Number 7 is the shoestring slash matchstick potato.
I don't think they should be that high.
Number 8 is crinkle cut.
Not bad.
Number 9 is cheese fries.
Ooh, that's a low rating. Cheese fries should be higher than 9.
Well, I would argue that's a standard cut fry that you're just at. We can have the discussion about what to put on French fries.
But aren't garlic fries just a standard fry with garlic seasoning?
Yes.
Whatever the Belgian fry is in a cone with mayo?
Chili cheese. No, that's still a cut of fry. The mayonnaise is not a requirement. Chili cheese fries show up later, too. Steak fries come in way down at number 10.
Top 10. That's a good answer right there. Steak fries are great.
But still come behind curly fries. Number 11 is chips, which is what the British call French fries, where they're doused in vinegar, and they're amazing.
I've never had that.
Awesome.
I like vinegar. I might like
malt
that.
Vinegar. Can
I make it myself? Is that easy?
Because you can buy malt vinegar in a bottle and just pour it on French fries. They're awesome. Number 12 is sweet potato fries.
Should not be that high. Those are overrated.
No, they're really good. They're really good. But I would argue the reason it shouldn't be on this list is because that is not a cut of French fry. That is a different kind of potato.
That is a different potato, so it doesn't belong?
List. Okay. Number 13 is potato wedges. I would argue that's not a French fry. That's a different cut of potato, but whatever. Number 14 is chili cheese fries. Number 15 is cottage fries.
I don't know what that is.
Which are circles, basically. They're like taking a potato and cutting it into thicker slices. That's
okay.
Not bad. That's a cut of fry. That's not bad.
That probably
like that.
Transports your dipping sauce quite
Correct.
Well.
That's
what it
does.
Probably does.
I don't understand what number 16 is, but it's French. Pommes souffles. Potatoes sliced medium thin and fried once in hot oil, then again in hotter oil until they puff up. Oh, they puff up. Okay, cool.
Okay, so they're like empty.
Yeah, they're airy. We got to talk about number 17, though, and maybe after the break.
Okay.
Since you were
blown away by this.
I've never seen this before.
Coming up, we'll tell you what number 17, this is far too low, but this can be tough to eat, and they're only seen at things like state fairs.
But I would really like one now. I'd never seen this. I've only been to a couple of state fairs, but I've never seen this before.
We'll tell you what it is coming up next. Don't forget, vote on our poll question, please. What is the best style of French fry?
And if you think it should be something that's not on the list, feel free to tweet that at us. What?
Huh? I said, yeah, go ahead and tweet curly.
Go ahead. I love curly fries. I'm just saying they're not as popular as steak fries.
Well, they're not on the list, so we're never going
to
know.
I mean, if you go to a barbecue joint, there's a better chance you're going to find steak fries at a barbecue joint than you're going to find curly fries.
That joint is wrong.
And if you know...
You've never said that.
If you know of places in town where you can get curly fries, feel free to text us where you can get the curly fries.
Happy Friday to you. Don't forget about your keyword to cash this hour.
Record, R-E-C-O-R-D, record. Text the word in 72881.
We're talking about French fries.
Because it's fun. That's Friday. Why not?
There's a story out about some restaurant in Maine. They changed their French fries from crinkle cut to straight fry.
Yeah. People got mad.
People got livid.
Threats, throwing drinks in the restaurant, yelling obscenities. People are not happy.
So we asked what the best style of French fry was. Straight cut, crinkle cut, waffle fry, steak fry. I did not put curly on the list. I don't know. I've angered a lot of people. Let me ask you a question about curly fries before we get to the French fry you need to try.
Yeah, that I've never even heard of before.
If the curly fry at Arby's, which is the only place anybody ever gets curly fries.
But if you know of other places, text them in.
If that doesn't have the seasoning on it, do you go buy the Ore-Ida frozen curly fries, the unseasoned, right? Like, is it the flavor of it, or is it the shape of it?
I need someone to describe the seasoning to me, because to be honest, I've never thought about that, to remember even what the seasoning tastes like, to know if they're okay without. So what's the seasoning?
Salt, garlic powder, onion powder, cayenne pepper, and flour.
You could buy those at the frozen section.
Right.
And you could make that seasoning.
But what I'm at, again.
Is it okay without it? I don't know, because I've never thought about.
See, that's my point. It's like the garlic fries are just regular fries with seasoning. Curly fries.
I've never had them without. I don't know if I have.
I've had them without seasoning, and they're just as good. And they're a lot better than steak fries. Here's why I don't like steak fries. Here's why.
Yes.
Because I feel like those fries are just so much like potato-y that it becomes dry after biting into them.
Here's the other problem. They break because they're long and flat. And so they break, they tear apart when you try to dip them. Like, there's not a good weight distribution.
Right. And who doesn't like playing it? The accordion with your fries.
Right. And then your fry, like half of it breaks off in the ketchup. And so then you got to go and go fish for your fry that fell in the ketchup. That's unpleasant. You know? Okay. So we were going through.
Steak fries is last in our poll question, by the way.
By the way, besides Arby's, Jack in the Box is the other popular place where you can get them. And Hardee's as well.
I haven't been to Jack in the Box in like 25 years.
When was the last
and
time
Hooters
you were to
has
Hardee's?
Them too, if you ever go to Hooters for curly fries.
Oh, well, there you go. How did you not know that?
That's why I'm going to Hooters for the curly fries.
Well, I go for the wings. But
right, yeah, but sure you anyway. Do. Reading the articles in Playboy too, aren't you?
Actually, right. The wings are actually really good.
Let's see. Okay, yeah. So Jack in the Box, and then 30 people in a row told me Hardee's.
All right.
So
I don't know the last time I went to a Hardee's.
I don't even know where is there a Hardee's.
I know there's a Jack in the Box on Johnson Drive right down the road by like the IKEA and the Home Depot down there.
Okay. I've only been to Hardee's once, and it was headed back to Texas. And, like, you know how they have those stops in between, like, Wichita and Emporia and all that? They have a Hardee's there instead of a McDonald's.
Isn't Hardee's just Carl's Jr., but out of the West Coast?
I think they're all together.
Is it the same thing? Okay.
When I was a kid, we had Hardee's. We never had Carl's. I didn't know Carl's Jr. until I came here.
I had Carl's Jr. in California when I was a kid. When I was 10.
Food Republic did a list, because there's also a thing called National French Friday. It was like a week or two ago. So they came out with all the styles of French fries ranked. If you missed it, waffle fry was at number one. The ones that we talked about, curly fries, were number six. Standard cut was number four. Crinkle cut's number eight. Steak fries way down at number 10. Number 17 is something I've never heard of before. Maybe I haven't done state fairs enough, but it's called a potato tornado.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it's described as being a whole potato on a skewer, thinly sliced to make a spiral. You basically do one long spiral of a whole potato, fan it out so that it fills, you know, like the size of a cucumber, and then deep fried, and then you put it on a stick.
Right. It's pretty cool. The only thing is, that's not the easiest thing in the world to eat if you're going to have sauces. Because it doesn't stay on the stick. Like, Travis, you've seen these things, right? At state fairs, right?
Yeah. What I normally do is you're trying not to dip it. So, I mean, you keep it on the stick. And if you just want ketchup, that's when you do the, zigzag spray on top of the stick.
Yeah. Put the ketchup on the potato instead of dipping it.
This is not a walking potato. I think you have to sit to eat this.
No, you don't.
I would.
To me, I would treat this very much like a corn dog.
Yeah.
And I would put the ketchup or whatever you're on it, and then just eat it. Instead of dipping it, I would just put the dip on the thing.
Now I feel like you're like a messy kid when you eat this, Mike.
I don't think I could walk and eat one of these things. It's a big giant spiral, and eventually, like, you know, it starts weighing down and it comes apart. Like, this is...
That's okay. It looks amazing.
That's why you have to sit when you eat it.
That's okay, though. I'm not opposed to sitting while
I
eat it.
Do you wear a bib with it too, Mike?
I have to actually put on gloves so I don't get my hands dirty.
So I want that now.
I want to go to a fair.
I want that now.
When is the state
Didn't
fair?
Didn't you just go to the Iowa State Fair?
Yeah, I ate a ton, and I want to go back. Now we're talking about corn dogs and...
When's the Kansas State Fair? September?
Potato tornadoes.
I've never even been to the state fair here.
Neither
have I. Don't know where it is.
It's in Hutchinson.
Hutchinson. Let's say Hutchinson.
Yeah, it's in Hutchinson. I believe it's September.
Kansas State Fair is September 7th through the 16th.
There you go. Take the ride. You've never been to Hutchinson. Take a ride down that way.
How far is it to get down there?
3 hours. You'll make it in 3 hours, no problem.
That's a long time.
No, how it's far, not. How 3 hours is nothing.
Sedalia, how far is that drive?
3 hours? I don't know. 2 hours?
Kara's in there. I don't know. Kara's in there it's yelling at you.
3 hours to me is no big deal. Go take the ride to Hutchinson.
The Missouri State Fair is going on for another 2 days.
Well, there you go.
You could go out there and get a fried Twinkie.
No, we're talking about the potato tornado.
What's your favorite kind of French fry?
Waffle.
See, Kara is brilliant.
Kara, do you like steak fries?
Yeah, steak fries are fine. But
Thank you.
She said they're fine. She didn't say, wow, they're amazing. She said they're fine.
Are they a top five fry?
Curly fries, Kara.
Oh, curly fries.
Do you like
curly? No. This is what I'm talking about.
You really can't go wrong with a French fry, guys. It's fried potatoes.
Yeah, you can.
Kara,
it matters. You can.
The curly fry thing matters.
Shoestring, there's no point. It's worthless.
Well,
there's no point in shoestring potatoes.
Well, that's not true. It's to get the dip in your mouth.
Steak fries lies don't matter.
Wait, hold on. All fries matter. All right.
So to be clear, according to Kara, curly fries, what was your reaction?
I love curly
fries. Yeah, but but hang on a second. And I know we have to get to the news. Meh. Do you like curly fries if they weren't seasoned the way that...
Curly fries always are?
No, the way that Arby's does it. Would you go buy Orida regular curly fries with no seasoning and dip them in salt and
the other places.
Whatever else you dip
them. They have to be seasoned curly
fries. See?
But that's okay. What's wrong with that?
That's my point.
If they're always seasoned, you never have to worry about it.
That's like, where would you take cheese fries or curly fries?
It's not the same thing.
It is the same thing.
No, because cheese sometimes goes on French fries, but not always. What you are telling me is that it always has the seasoning on it, so you never have to worry about it not being there.
It's not the same if it's
cheese
from
is an option.
If you go to Hy-Vee and buy them frozen and make them yourself.
Who does that?
I have.
Who?
Well, I
and
do.
Then buy the seasoning.
Or that's make my it. Point.
It's not.
Then garlic fries should be ahead of steak fries?
But the point of the story is the cut of the potato that we're talking about. And so that's why curly fries make the list, because it's the style in which the potato is sliced.
I don't think you like curly fries that are unseasoned.
I would have no idea because I've never had them, because nobody makes them without the seasoning.
Go to Hy-Vee. Go right now.
We are not sending Travis to Hy-Vee right now.
I know, I'm not Dana. You're right.
That's true. Are you okay?
Am I okay?
Yeah.
I'm great.
You have a look on your face there.
No, I should have.
It's concerning.
I should have hit this button faster. Hold on. Let me go live here.
Yeah. So, something fun happened during the break. Okay.
Give us a keyword to cash. Burn 10 seconds for me.
Oh, okay. The keyword to cash this hour.
There we go.
Is record. RECORD, record. Text it into 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. So during Kara's news, I get a text from Kara's husband, Paul, saying, I am downstairs. Can you come let me in? Because I'm here to surprise Kara.
Aww.
Because he's winning Husband of the Year award today. And Kara's birthday is Sunday, right? It's the 19th. And so Paul's here. And you've never been on the air except by phone before?
Yeah, only when Scott's called me.
Okay. And so Kara's, so what did you bring? What? So you've been gone out of town here for a few days? You just got back?
Yeah, for work.
And what did you bring?
I brought her some flowers.
Aww.
See, isn't he sweet? And they're very pretty, and so she was on the air, and he just goes and puts his face in the window, and she looks over. And
you've never been on the air here before?
Not that I recall.
Wow,
I've been up here a few times, but
sure.
Any stories you want to tell?
Yeah, anything? I mean, you got?
Because if not, we're gonna grill you about French fries.
We got 90 more minutes here, man.
Was that a pun?
No. No, I didn't even think about it. You give me too much credit. No, I don't think about it that much. No, not at all.
So no, the real question is, what'd you do?
Uh-huh.
Why'd you bring flowers?
Because I was gone for 3 days and made her have to take care of our one-year-old by herself.
How was that, by the way?
It was fine, actually.
Kara, pull a mic up. There you go.
Yeah, it was totally fine, actually. So,
That's super nice of you, Paul.
I know. Unexpected surprise.
I think they should change your nickname. I don't think it should be Apple Picking Paul anymore. I think
one time, and I will never get him to go back now because of that.
I think
they've actually changed my nickname a few times.
Oh, really?
We always come back.
But it always comes back to the original.
I think it's nice guy, husband, perfect guy of the year, Paul, with the flowers for your pregnant wife that you have
just
abandoned for 3 days.
Very nice.
Well, thanks, Paul.
Yeah.
No problem.
I mean, you should say thanks.
Thank you, honey.
You're welcome.
Okay. What are the birthday plans? What's the...
I didn't have anything specific. I was trying to get through this week. Work.
I mean, he thought of the flowers.
Yeah.
So we should leave him alone.
I was on my way through town from the airport and thought I'd just drop in.
So it's your birthday?
Her birthday.
Your birthday.
My birthday.
Carol, what do you want? Yeah. Now's the time to put in some requests.
Oh, I have no idea.
If he doesn't have it figured out yet, there's still time.
No, I have no idea. I haven't even thought about my birthday this year, I'll be honest.
She wants a foot massage and an hour alone.
Ooh, a pedicure would be lovely.
There you go.
Okay, there you go.
I'll let somebody else do it.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Family.
Oh, that was adorable. That was super totes adorbs.
Oh, yes.
Somebody on the Facebook Live said, hint, hint, Wicket.
But you didn't you just get your wife a shirt?
I did. My wife.
You're pretty good at stuff like that,
actually. I get her flowers from time to time.
You're just good at the little surprises for the wife.
I have learned that the little surprises need to become more regular when she's 17 weeks pregnant. Like those little things.
Or anytime.
Yeah.
Not just when she's pregnant.
Yeah.
But anytime. It's not bad.
You got to do those things when you have the pregnant wife. And I can relate to Paul. I get it.
Somebody said Perfect Husband Paul is a pretty catchy nickname, too.
Perfect Husband Paul. Right.
Well, that was fun.
Wonderful.
Surprised us as much as anybody else.
That's great. Thanks for coming in, Paul. That was great. You're like, I got to go. Paul just texted me. I'm like,
from downstairs.
What the hell?
Like, I'll be back. I don't know why. I don't know what's going on, but I'll be right back. So it's always good to see the family, you know?
Yeah, absolutely it is. All right. Completely changing gears.
I don't even know how we,
There's no good transition in going back to this conversation we had in the 10 o'clock hour that led off the show. And there were a lot of people that didn't get a chance to get in because we ran out of time, but the phone number is 576-7798. You can text in at 22980, and we're still learning more about the terrible duck boat tragedy that happened on Table Rock Lake, and now we have this.
So the story's out of Fox 4. A witness who jumped into Table Rock Lake when he saw a duck boat take on too much water and started to sink is suing the company, has filed the lawsuit. The guy's name is Gregory Harris. He worked on the Branson Bell, which was a riverboat that was sitting in the water nearby, claims that he was injured when he jumped into the water to help rescue victims. According to the lawsuit, he saw the duck boat struggling and then heard someone say it had gone down and to grab life jackets. The lawsuit says, heedless of his own safety, Greg jumped into the wind-driven surge of the lake to try and rescue anyone he could. The first woman Harris got to was face down in the water. He pulled her head out of the water and swam her to the nearby Branson Bell, where people on board helped to pull her out. He then helped people on the boat pull a man out of the water. That man was still alive. Unfortunately, he did not get to the next man fast enough. That man was already dead by the time they got him on the boat. He continued his rescue efforts, and the next women he helped survived. Then things took a tragic turn when he tried to pull a child out of the water. That child was already dead by the time Harris got to him. The lawsuit says, despite the growing horror and anguish, he tried to continue. But Greg and others were told not to try and risk another rescue attempt, as those individuals had already been determined to have died. Out of respect for the victims, Harris then tried to find something to cover the bodies with that they had pulled from the water. According to an attorney representing him, he hurt his right arm, lower back, and knocked a crown out of his mouth. In addition, he has survivor's guilt and is battling PTSD. He also had to quit his job at the Branson Bell following what happened. If you recall, there were 31 people on the boat when it sank. 17 died. 14 were injured. And he saved 4 of those 14 who survived the tragedy. The lawsuit said, in part, the duck boat sank only a few minutes from land and safety. Had defendants and or each of them made a decision to turn back soon, they would have likely been able to save the lives of passengers and avoid injuries. There's not a monetary amount specified in the lawsuit, so we don't know exactly what he is suing for, what amount he is suing for, but he is suing for the emotional distress and for the physical injuries.
576-7798. He jumped in to help the victims on Table Rock Lake about a month ago. Then he got hurt and now says he is suffering from PTSD and survivor's guilt. Now he's suing Ride the Ducks. Will he win? Should he win? Should he be compensated for that? 576-7798. He jumped in on his own accord. Should he be compensated? 576-7798. I don't think this lawsuit should produce a nickel for this guy. He didn't have to jump in. And what was the, if he was trying to jump in to make money for jumping in, that's horrible. He was trying to jump in to save lives. That's the reason you do it.
I don't think he jumped in the water thinking, man, if I jump in the water and save some people, I'll be able to sue for millions. I don't think that was going through his head. Keep in mind, there were a lot of other people who had the opportunity to jump in and save lives, and they didn't. This guy didn't have to go and keep people alive, but he chose to. And he could have died. I mean, he risked his life as a result.
I think you sue. To me, you sue because somebody has done something wrong that, you know, you don't expect them to do wrong to you. He wasn't supposed to jump in. He did it out of the bravery. He's a hero, and it would be cool if if he got some sort of compensation for being a hero. But a lawsuit to me feels very wrong. I don't think he deserves a nickel.
I think the company's going to pay up because it doesn't look good for the company that has been accused of negligence and are facing multiple wrongful death lawsuits because of the stories that we've all heard about how that boat should not have been in the water. What he can say is, and what his attorneys will say is, if you had not put the boat in the water in the first place, he wouldn't have been in the position to go save lives. There's no way that company is going to say, we are not going to compensate you for helping to somewhat minimize a tragedy that we created. So they're going to pay him something. At the very least, from a PR standpoint, they're going to pay him something. And he deserves it. He risked his life. No one asked him to. But you have four people who are alive today because this man jumped into the water and risked his own life. And that is worth something.
Jamie says he's going to get paid. I don't think he should see a nickel from this company. What do you think? 576-7798. We'll get to your phone calls. Everybody on hold. You're coming up next on 98.1 KMBZ. Do you think this guy has a case? He is now suing the Ride the Duck people after he jumped in the water at the Table Rock tragedy. Saved some lives, but got hurt and now has PTSD.
Gregory Harris is his name. He worked on the Branson Bell, which is the riverboat that sits right there on Table Rock Lake. And he heard people calling for help and said, hey, the boat's going down. And so he jumped in. He ended up saving four lives. Remember, there were 14 people who survived. He saved four of those people. He also reached a child who was dead when he was able to reach that child, but helped pull the child out of the water. He hurt his back, had a couple of injuries to him, hurt his arm in the process, and has stopped working at the Branson Bell. Who could blame him? Who could go back? And is claiming emotional distress, PTSD, and the physical injuries that he suffered. And so he is suing the companies that own the boat and were running the boat that day.
Let's go to Bob on KMBZ. Bob, what do you think of the lawsuit now?
Well, I just wanted to touch base with you. I was one of the first responders to the Hyatt Skywalks collapse. And after that was all over, several months later, the insurance companies and or Hyatt, and I can't really remember which, offered to pay $1,000 to anyone who was on the scene at the Hyatt for either stress. They didn't call it PTSD at that time. But for stress or for any type of injury, as long as they would sign away their right to sue.
So do you think that'll take place here?
Oh, I mean, that was a long, long time ago, and times were different. But just from a historical perspective, it's not unheard of to pay someone for their emotional distress, even if, they were acting as a first responder or just as a volunteer trying to help.
Understandable. Hey, Bob, thank you so much, man. We appreciate that. Let's go to Helen on KMBZ. What do you think, Helen?
Hi. God bless this man, because I don't know that I could have done what he did. But I do tend to agree with Jamie on this, that, you know, he saved four lives. That's priceless. Yet, you know, he did it on his own accord, and it was probably against his employer protocol and whatnot. But, I mean, how can you put a price on that? I mean, he was just doing what he thought was the right thing to do, and it was the right thing to do, and he should definitely be compensated for that.
Okay. Thank you, Helen. Let's talk to Chuck on KMBZ. Thanks for calling, Chuck. Happy Friday.
Hey, happy Friday.
What's on your mind?
So this guy, you know, he's a good Samaritan. He's a good guy, and I do think that he should be rewarded for his actions. But once again, he took those actions upon himself, but jumping into the water, he knew he was putting himself at some risk, and injuries happen, I get it, and he wants to be compensated. I understand that as well, but suing the company, I don't think that's the right course of action for this guy. I think he should just sit back and see what plays out. I do think the company should reward him, though.
And I assume the reason that he is suing is because the company's not jumping to pay out more money than they're already going to have to for the wrongful death lawsuits that have been filed. By the way, they have four fewer wrongful death lawsuits to pay out because this guy jumped in the water.
Thanks for the phone call, Chuck. That opens up a line for you at 576-7798. Let's go to Charlotte on KMBZ. What's up, Charlotte?
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
Good. Well, my thoughts on that is, what happened to the Good Samaritan Act or the moral value? Not just, why would you want to see someone die in front of you when you can help? And I don't think it was a monetary issue. It was a moral issue. And
he jumped in for a moral issue. And now that he's been hurt, it's a monetary issue in his mind.
Well, yes, and I'm a paralegal, so I think of it, I'm seeing both sides to it.
Do you think the company's going to pay him?
That would be a fight. I think that would be a fight if he has a really, really good attorney. But I think that would be a real big fight on his hands.
And that, I believe, is what is going to happen.
Here's why I think it won't be a fight.
Thanks, Charlotte.
Because he wouldn't have had to jump in the water if the people involved with that boat had made the decision they were supposed to make and not put that boat in the water in the first place. The only reason he ended up with the injuries he has is because of the negligence on the part of that company. He's not we don't know what he's asking for, but if he's not asking for $100 million, it's easier just to cut him a check and make this go away.
I believe they will cut it. I think you're right. I don't think they should.
But they're going to, because it's the right thing to do.
I think they will, because it'll be a good PR move.
But it's the right thing to do. They made the mistake, the fatal mistake that cost so many people their lives that day. And he ended up in the water because of a mistake they made.
No, he did not end up. Okay.
So was he supposed to not jump in?
I mean,
and then four people would die.
Do you sue everybody else who didn't jump in?
No, he's not going after everybody else. Those other people didn't put the boat in the water. He's going after the people who did.
But in your mind, it sounds like, you know, he tried to do something that wasn't required and therefore now is legally supposed to get paid back for his injuries because he saved lives. Are the people that stood and watched, are they legally responsible for not jumping in and not saving more lives?
Again, those people did not put the boat in the water that cost those people their lives. He is going after the people who are responsible for putting that boat in the water, because if they hadn't done that, he wouldn't have had to go into the water in the first place.
He didn't have to go in.
But he did. Four people are alive because this guy took that step. I'm sure his medical bills are not huge because all he did was hurt his back and hurt his arm. So if all he's asking for is compensation for his medical bills and, hey, I'm taking some time off work because it was pretty traumatic to hold a dead child in my arms, I don't think that's a lot to ask the company to pay out.
I think he gets his medical bills paid for and that's it. I think he'll get $30,000.
You know, the lesson you don't want to give to people is don't jump in and help. The lesson, you can't give that lesson to people. In fighting this lawsuit, you're saying to people, don't get involved and try to help when there's a tragedy like that. And that's the last message you want to send.
But if, let's say he's suing for, it's not $100 million. Let's say he's suing for $2 million, $2 million bucks. This company's worth like $1 billion, or it was. Is this opening up Pandora's box to say, all right, we are going to settle with everybody who ever brings a suit against us now?
But that's everybody is filing a suit,
but can't somebody sitting there that didn't jump in say, I watched people drown and therefore I have PTSD, and because you put the boat in that caused people to die and float on the water that I saw, now I'm suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome?
Not everybody else jumped in the water and saved lives. Not everybody else has the story that this guy has. This guy has a unique story and a unique case. I don't know about everybody else if they're all going to sue for PTSD, but this guy definitely has a better case than those other people.
Let's talk to Tom on KMBZ. Thanks for calling, Tom.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay, so I kind of told him something different, but let's just put it this way. If a guy sets fire to an apartment building and somebody goes in there like a hero to try to rescue somebody and dies, isn't he charged with that murder also, as a murder?
I'm not following your example.
I don't. So if this guy would have died, does the duck boat people, or do the duck boat people have another death on their hands?
Right. I mean, just because he didn't have to go in there, the guy that went into the fire didn't have to go in, but the guy that started it would have got charged with his murder also. I mean, am I correct?
I don't, I'm not a legal expert. I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and speculate. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, I have no idea.
So if this guy would have if this guy would have jumped in the water and died,
would they be held responsible for his death? Could his family be filing a lawsuit on his behalf? Yeah, I would say yes.
I'd say no.
For the same reason that I say this guy's lawsuit is valid.
The only reason I might listen to a yes is because he was employed by this company.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.